This morning, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 143. Psalm 143, we'll be reading the 12 verses of this psalm. Psalm 143, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore my spirit faints within me, my heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. It is our intention, next Lord's Day, as we gather for worship, that we will celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper together. And we have the practice in our congregation of preparing for that celebration. The Sunday before communion, we read in the back of the Psalter the preparatory exhortation. And we'll read that just a few minutes from now. It's also good to, throughout the week, reflect upon coming to the table. What it means to come and to take and to eat the body and blood of Christ as a part of His church. This morning, to help us in our preparation, we're going to look at Psalm 143. A psalm that I hope you will reflect on this morning, today, throughout this week, as we anticipate the joy and celebration of coming to the Lord's table. Psalm 143 is the last of the six penitential psalms. We talked about the penitential psalms in our psalm series a few weeks or months ago now. Psalm 143 is a lament. It cries out to God for help. The laments teach us how to praise God when things are going poorly and where our focus should be, not on ourselves, but upon God. So this morning we look at Psalm 143 to help us to prepare for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And our preparation is really very simple. We acknowledge who we are, we acknowledge who God is, and what He has done for us. We begin by acknowledging who we are, and in doing that, we have to acknowledge that we are fallen, that we are sinners. The psalmist says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness answer me, in your righteousness." The psalmist appeals to God as a righteous God, a God who has set standards of right and wrong. As we reflect upon who we are, we recognize that God has set His holy standards among us. He has given us His Word. Standards that apply to all of us. Standards against which we measure our life. You know what a standard is, children? A standard is something that we measure ourselves against. Well, maybe as you're growing up, You like to see how tall you're getting. And maybe you have a wall in your house where you make a little line, and you know, at 6 years old you were this tall, and at 8 years old you were this tall. Maybe you like to go up to mom and dad or grandpa and grandma and say, "Let me see how tall I am now." And you know, first you're up to their waist, and then maybe you're up to their elbow and shoulder and their chin, and eventually you're over grandpa and grandma, maybe. That's a standard. It's a measurement. It's a way of determining where we are. God has given us a standard, a holy and righteous standard, a standard against which we measure ourselves, the standard of His law, a law that is perfect, a law that is right, a law that is just. And when we look at ourselves in the light of that law, we see we have fallen short. But we must recognize first, God has set a standard. We live in a world that says there are no standards. What is good for you may not be good for you. What is good for me might work but might not. And we recognize right and wrong is not a matter of opinion. It's not a matter of majority. However the vote goes, that must be what's right. No, God has set holy, righteous standards that are to be applied to all of us. When we measure ourselves against that holy, righteous standard, we understand what the psalmist says in verse 2, "For no one living is righteous before you." No one has met God's standard of perfectly keeping His law. We recognize we have done things that are an offense against God. He has said, "Don't do this. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't lie. Don't commit adultery." And whether in actual practice or only in our minds, we have violated the law of God. We have not lived up to His holy standards. We must recognize the seriousness of our sin. The psalmist says elsewhere, "Against you, O God, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. So you are proved justified when you speak, justified when you judge." All sin is ultimately against God. Oh, it may affect those around us and be a sin against those around us too, but ultimately, all sin is a violation of God's holy, righteous law and standard. Our sin is not simply an error in judgment, a lapse in our decision-making. It is an offense against a holy God. That's how we begin to prepare for the Lord's Supper, acknowledging who we are. We read from Romans chapter 3 earlier, "There is no one righteous, not even one. No one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless." Not even the holy of us here can say we have kept God's law perfectly, but that all of our works are tainted with sin. We begin to prepare for the Lord's Supper by recognizing that no one has the right to come next Sunday. No one has the right in themselves, in what they have done, to come to the table. Now we recognize that God has set a standard, and we have fallen short. But as we reflect upon that, we also remember that God has provided a way of salvation. God has given us the promise of forgiveness of sins. David says, "For the enemy has pursued my soul, he has crushed my life to the ground, he has made me sit in darkness like those long dead, therefore my spirit faints within me, my heart is appalled within me." David knew what it was to be pursued by the enemy. David was literally pursued by his enemies. Now, I don't suppose that many of us here have actual enemies pursuing us. But certainly we have those spiritual enemies pursuing us. The world, the devil, our own flesh we war against. As again and again we are brought down and accused of our sin. The devil loves nothing better than to accuse us and make us see how fallen and sinful we are. And so in this week of preparation, it's important, first of all, to recognize the seriousness of our sin. We must not make too light of our sin. But we must also, I say this somewhat cautiously, we must also not make too much of our sin. The devil would love to come and accuse and say, look what you have done. Look how you live. Look at the things you say. Look at your life. Who are you to begin to think that God would care about you? Who are you to begin to think that God would show mercy to you? Look at what you've, how you've lived. We remember God's grace is greater than all our sin. We must not take our sin too lightly. We must not take it too seriously. As if to think that somehow we have out-sinned the grace of God. We must not say, I have gone too far, I have done too much, God couldn't forgive me. God's grace is greater than our sin. We remember His goodness. We remember His mercy. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that You have done. I ponder the works of Your hands. Therefore, I stretch out my hands to You. We recognize what God has done in the sending of His Son, Jesus Christ. One who was sent by God the Father Himself to perfectly pay for all our sins, wholly and completely. This week, as we reflect upon coming to the Lord's table and preparing, we will think about those things where we have fallen short of the glory of God. We must not end our preparation there, or it leads us to despair. No, we go on to remember God, what He has done, His love, His mercy, His grace, the fact that Jesus Christ came and shed His blood for all of His children to completely wash them from all their sins. We must not forget the grace and mercy of God in forgiveness. Because it is real, it is complete, that God will no longer hold our sins against us. And the blessing of that is, if God no longer holds our sins against us, neither do we have to hold our sins against us. We might say, yes, I know that God has forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself. Are we more just than God, more righteous than God? No, He has seen fit to, in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, completely cover all our sins. Who are we to hold any charge against us? Oh, Satan would accuse. He would point out what we have done. But we have grace greater than all of our sins. God has forgiven us. We meditate on His works, on the power of His hands, on what He has done. That Jesus Christ came to wash and cleanse us whiter than snow. Not make us a little bit better, but wash us perfectly whiter than snow. We are declared to be not guilty before God. And knowing that truth, knowing that we don't take our sin too lightly, nor do we take it too seriously, we can have assurance as we come to the table of the Lord. Assurance not what we have done, but what God has done. The psalmist says, verse 7, answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Hide not Your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. He says, I'm directing my prayer to God, for You're the one who must act. Let me hear in the morning of Your steadfast love, for in You I trust. Let me hear in the morning. There is a sense of anticipation, of a new day beginning. Let me hear in the morning, O Lord, of Your steadfast love, of Your goodness, of Your faithfulness, that You are the God who has not let His people go. That You are the God who has accomplished salvation. The morning speaks of a new day, of a new life, of a new beginning. For all those who find themselves in Christ Jesus, You have a new morning, a new day, a new life. God has worked by the power of His Spirit in you to take you from death to life. And you can be assured of what He has done and what He will continue to do. The psalmist says, "Make me know the way I should go. For to you I lift my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground." The psalmist says, "Let me know, teach me, lead me, continue to go with me, God." And he does exactly that. By the power of his spirit, God does teach and lead and guide and direct. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He gives us, by the power of His Spirit, that desire to walk in His ways, that desire to do what He's called us to do. Our assurance is not based on the fact that we have done it all perfectly, but we see God's work in us. We know, left to ourselves, we would desire nothing of God. It's when we see that small glimmer of hope, that desire to do what God has called us to, we say, "God, you are at work. You have not left my soul to the grave, but you've given light to my eyes. Teach me. Let me know. Lead me. Show me your ways, O God." As we reflect this coming week, we'll reflect upon what God continues to do. How in our lives He does direct us toward the paths of righteousness. And then gives us that beginning of desire to walk in His ways, to do that which He has called us to. When we see that glimmer, when we see that beginning, we don't say, "Well, now look what I have done." But that itself, that we begin to do these things, is an assurance God is at work. When we as sinners come to the Lord's table assured that He will receive us, it's for His praise and His glory. That's how the psalmist ends. He says, "For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. In your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies. You will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. For your name's sake, that it might bring glory to you." When we who are fallen and sinful can gather together and come to the table of our Lord, it is a witness to what God has done. It brings praise to His name. That fallen sinners like us can come together at God's invitation and come and eat at His table. That brings Him praise, because He is the one who calls us. He is the one who qualifies us to come, not in what we have done, but in what Christ has done on our behalf. Do all these things, O God, for we are your servants. We are those whom you have called into fellowship with yourself. Preparing for the Lord's Supper is a good practice for us, but it's also a dangerous practice. We must go all the way through the process. Oh, the first step of acknowledging God's standards and acknowledging our fallenness is often the easiest step, because we see our sin so clearly. It's all around us. We look at the words that we say, the actions that we do, we see that so clearly. It's easy for us to stop there and say, "Yes, I recognize my fallenness and sinfulness," but we need to go on. Don't stop after the beginning. Don't stop this week after you reflect upon what you have done that's an offense to God, but go on to remember. Remember the work of God in Jesus Christ. A perfect work. A complete work. That God has forgiven you of all of your sins. And then pray that the Spirit might continue to work in you that desire to know, to be led, to be taught, that God might guide you and lead you in the paths of righteousness. That next Sunday we might gather together assured of what God has done, for the praise, for the honor, for the glory of His name. May God bless us as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. Let us join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for giving us your word, a word of instruction, a word that helps us to see ourselves more clearly. And we pray to you this morning, O God, hear our prayer. Give ear to our pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer us in your righteousness. We acknowledge you are a righteous God with righteous standards. And we acknowledge no one living before you is righteous. That includes us. And so we pray, O God, for your forgiveness. We bless you for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, for his perfect life on earth, for his perfect death on our behalf, that through him we might have the forgiveness of our sins for all who confess, for all who believe, a righteousness by faith, not by law. And then strengthen us, O God. Continue to lead and guide. Teach us, lead us. May we know the ways we should go for your honor, for your glory, and for your praise. Accept our prayer, for we pray it not in our own name, but in Jesus' name. Amen.